want to commit this to you, Father, and I just pray that every word will be anointed, that it'll be your word, and we just pray in Jesus' name that the hearer of the word will also be anointed. So we just pray that our spiritual ears and eyes will be open, and that your word will go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's wonderful to be here, and I've got a lot to say, by surprise. And I've got to say it before I get on the ferry, because I've got to get that ferry. The difficulty in building an ark is that you have to keep building. So I can't always get across as often as I can. So I like to make the most of it when I do come. And one of the things that God's been speaking to us very clearly in Tain has been about windows, doors and gates. And, you know, we're here on the west gate, and in Tain we're on the east gate. And it's interesting what the word of God says about gates. We've already heard about the doors that we have to push on. But if you turn with me to his word, and we look at 2 Kings, and it's chapter 6. Now, we start at 32. Now, just to give you a wee bit of backdrop here, Samaria was in a severe famine, and it was a horrendous city. It was under siege, and people were desperate, so desperate that there was atrocious things happening. They were eating one another, their children. It was just beyond our comprehension how bad the situation was. But the word of God came through Elisha. And in verse 32, but Elisha was sitting in his house. Now he was being blamed by the king that it was all his fault. And how often do we preachers get the brunt end of, well, it's their fault this is not happening. Or he's been teaching the wrong word. I'm sure Donnie's got a very thick skin. But, you know, we don't always want to hear the word of God. We want to hear what we want to hear rather than what we need to hear. But Elijah was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he was still talking with them, there was a messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord, and thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel, at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now we can see from here that it was the messenger that came first of all to the gate. You know, we so often say, oh, the enemy, meaning the devil, is doing this and he's doing that and he's doing the next thing. But he doesn't come first. It's a messenger that comes first. And very often, the messenger is that little seed of doubt in your own mind that says, oh, you can't do that. You can't go there. You can't do this. You can't do the next thing. And before you know it, you're speaking it out, aren't you? You're saying, No, I can't. You know, I was thinking that this morning when I was putting the plants back in the car. I was thinking, you know, I could so easily say, I can't lift these things. Oh, my back. I better watch my shoulder. But God healed my shoulder. Amen. But I could lose my healing by the words I speak. So I need to shut the door on the messenger. To shut the door. And not just shut it, but keep it shut. Keep it shut. You know, I heard this lovely story. And I thought, this just ties in perfectly with the message. You know, God spoke through a donkey, can talk through anybody. But this story was not in church. It was out there, but it was just wonderful. And it was about this guy who had a zoo. And he had this performing ape in the zoo. Big gorilla type. I don't know the difference between apes and gorillas, but you know what I mean. That species. And it was well trained to do all kinds of tricks. And it attracted loads and loads of people to the zoo. But lo and behold, on the busiest day of the year, did the poor creature not become ill? And the guy said, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to lose my trade. I'm not going to have any money. Da, 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 da. So he thought, right, we'll get a dressing up apey costume and we put the zookeeper in. That was so the zookeeper did as he was told, and he jumped in the cage and he was going, ooh, 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 you know, doing all the gorilla type things. And he got so carried away with himself, he was swinging on the swing. And he was swinging so high, he flew over into the next cage and fell and thought, oh, what was in the next cage but a roaring lion? And he got terrified and thought, oh, I can't, you know, I better shut up here. You know. But as the lion got nearer and going, ah, he got more and more scared, moving back and screaming his head off. In the end, the lion came up, ah, will you be quiet or we'll both get fired? How does that tie in with the word? It ties in with the word that when I moan and complain, and I'm going to, what are you going to do? I would hope that you would tell me to shut the door, shut the mouth. But no, very often we just commiserate. Oh, I know that's awful. And this happened to me. And da 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 da. And before we know it, we're both fired. Because we've talked ourselves out of the blessing by complaining and by moaning and by just going, So we need to shut the door and keep it shut. And focus on the windows. Because it's wonderful, you know, when you look in the natural, the gate is very much a public entrance, isn't it? Anyone can come through your gate. Sometimes they come through the gate but never come to the door. You know, it's pretty bold to come up to a door. But I don't know about you, but I've been cheeky sometimes and reversed the car into someone's lane just through the gate to get to where I'm going. But I'd be pretty cheeky to drive it, reverse it all the way up to the door. But the messenger from the king of the world, the devil, has a cheek to reverse all the way up to the door. So you need to make sure that you keep your door shut. And that you hold it shut. And while you're keeping it shut, you look up. You look up. Because there is only one opening. There's only one way that a window can be opened properly. And that's from the inside. So if you look up, God can open the windows of heaven. If you keep the door shut and you hold it shut. And it doesn't matter who's door. We're so much focused on the gate. Who's at the gate? And before we know it, they're in the house. So often we allow that, and we're going to have lives. And listen to me, you young couple. You're going to have crises in your lives. You're going to have temptations in your lives, but you don't let it get into you. You are in a boat, and you're riding these waves, and you're safe in the boat as long as you don't allow the waves into the boat. And, you know, so often we allow the crisis that is going on around us to get into our lives. And then we lose our focus on the windows of heaven. We lose our focus on our provider, on our healer, on our deliverer, our protector, our comforter. Because we are so geared up and focused on the situation. You know, I don't know how many horrendous situations I've been in since I've gone over to start this work in Tain. But you know, it's amazing how just focusing on God has kept my sanity, it's kept my peace, it's kept me physically well in the, you know, the face of the almost impossible. And he has done what is beyond my understanding, way beyond my understanding. You know, it's absolutely imperative that we, you know, keep that messenger at the gate. Keep the door shut and hold on to the door and look up. Look up. Hear from God. Hear from God. You know, we're so busy running around listening to everybody else. And it's not always God that speaks to even one another. You know, we have a responsibility. And we have a huge responsibility to one another. And when we say, God said this, we need to be very sure that it was God who said it. And not just us. Meaning well, we want to encourage, but please don't add, but God said. You know, I cringe sometimes when I hear Pentecostal, charismatic, spirit-filled men and women talking lots of Christian pious rubbish. And that's all you can say about it. You cringe, you hear it and you think, oh, don't say that God said that. Because you know that the Spirit within you gives witness. And you think, stop Christianizing everything. You know, just be real. And in being real, you will be radical. And you will hear from God. And you won't be manufacturing things. We need to be honest with ourselves. And not just blame the devil, or even blame God. You know, when we close the door, we're closing the door on a messenger that brings doubt, fear, guilt, low self-esteem, despair, disillusionment, disappointment, condemnation. And the messenger can also bring spiritual pride. And we forget about these things. It sounds good, but it's not good. It's deceiving. Deceiving. God will not take you from one place and leave you waiting in the wilderness to take you to another. That's not God. That's you, or you've allowed the door to be opened. God never closes a door without another one being opened for you. And I can testify to that. Because I don't know about you, but I can sometimes have that spiritual pride. That little demonic thing can attach itself to you. Sometimes it might never have detached itself from you. We need to be aware of it. But when I retired from social work, the day I started my pension, it was a very good pension. Not such a good pension now. Not such a good pension now. But who knows there isn't a recession in the kingdom of God. And God is good. And I thought, my pension is really, when I did my sums, I thought, the books aren't going to balance here. They'll do for a couple of months, but there's not going to last a long time. Now, he gave me a wonderful idea to start a business. And I believe it was him who gave me the idea. But there was one thing after another that didn't make it possible. There was, first of all, there was the venue that was available. I had to spend about 25 grand to make it accessible to the public because it was upstairs. And the Disability Discrimination Access Act of 2005 says that you're starting a new business. Well, you can't have it upstairs unless you put a lift in that everybody can get to. So that put the kibosh on the building. I went to look at another building and somebody else had been in before me. And I thought, every building in Tain, would you believe, that is empty today is upstairs. And I think, well, you dirty devil, I'm not going to give you £25,000. I'm going to wait for God to provide the right building. Now, I could sit on my laurels and wait for God to give this building. Or I could wait in faith that God is going to provide the building and go on and make money some other way. Because if I don't do that, I'm going to get myself into financial difficulty. And it's a very bad witness if I can't pay my way. Can you imagine? Oh, the pastor knew why she can't do this, she can't do that. She's not paying her bills. Letty's cut off. It'd be horrendous, wouldn't it? It's a very bad testimony. So I thought, right, we heard it today. You're knocking the doors. And you see, well, what's available? What's in your hand? Praise God, I've got lots in my hands. God has gifted me with many skills. Many skills. And I thought, right, what do you want me to do? There was one that I thought, I could do that. I could do assessing, SVQ assessing. That was a job. And I was overqualified for the job. I didn't get the job. I thought, what do I do? Moan, moan, moan. We're in an ageist society, didn't we? Just because I'm retired. And then God said, shut it. Keep it shut. Keep it shut. So I thought, okay. So I'd signed on to Jobs North. Then this job came in. I thought, oh, yes. This has got my name all over it. It was an activity coordinator in an old folks' home in Dornoch. And I thought, oh, it'd be right up my street. It was a Church of Scotland home. The manager who was there was very spiritual. She loved the Lord. And she had the staff praying. They had devotions every day at 11 o'clock. Every meeting was in the home was opened with a prayer. And this is not hearsay. I'd gone in when I would be, as a social worker, putting people into care. Eileen, at a review meeting, would open in prayer. Now, that doesn't happen in every Church of Scotland home. But in this one, it did. And I thought, oh, yes, this is wonderful. And I have always maintained lots of people have ministry for children. But you know, there are loads, and there's more people out there today needing ministry and who are teetering on the brink of eternity than there are children. And I thought, I want to get in there and have my hands on work. And what better way than with activities? And I thought, this is just it. So I phoned up, got an interview, went for the interview on the Tuesday. And the manager says, oh, Mary, she says, this, you're more qualified than I am. I says, well, I'm retired. So they will stop looking at the qualifications. You know, I just want 20, it's 20 hours, part-time job. Just want 20 hours, something that I can do that would augment my pension and still minister to people. She says, well, you know, if we reduce, they were also advertising for a deputy manager's post. If we reduce the hours for the manager's post. Would you go for an interview on Thursday? 10 days out of date, mind you. She'd have to speak to the person in Edinburgh or somewhere to see if this was possible, if I'd be interviewed on the Thursday. And I found myself being talked into going for this interview. I thought, I didn't want a manager's post. But anyway, I thought, well, just go for it. So I went for the interview. I haven't heard from them. That was just last Thursday. I'll be hearing from them this week. But I know I will have a job until the right building comes up for the business. But that doesn't mean to say that it's on the back burner. I continue making my Kindle pouches and my iPad pouches and my mobile and Harris Tweed. And I've been selling them at craft fairs, Christmas fairs. And the wonderful thing is that, you know what, the other thing is, when he said, what's in your hand? I thought, we have a huge garden, and there's loads of trees. And there's loads of pine cones. And in picking the pine cones with my little granddaughter, and we turn them into hedgehogs and all kinds of things, I thought, we could sell this at the Christmas craft fair. So I had them dried so that they're nice and open, had them sprinkled with essential oils and got them into nice little cellophane bags, sprayed a little bit of artificial snow on them, pretty ribbon on them. You know, I could have sold a ton of them. I had two huge big log baskets full of them, and they went within 15 minutes at £1.50, £2 ago. The table decorations that I'm taking orders for, I'm not coming here with them, so I'm not taking orders today, but for Christmas delivery, lovely candle that you saw in the window yesterday, those little ones with dried cinnamon sticks and dried oranges and, you know, just, and I've had a ball making these things. And it's so far removed from the business idea that, you know, I could be sitting there waiting forever for that to happen. I'm still in faith that it's going to happen. But I have to do my bit. I have to start off small. And I have to work. You know, in Deuteronomy, God says that he has given us the power to make wealth. He's given you the power. He's given me the power. You know, so often we sit back thinking, oh, well, God can do it. And God can, and he will. But we have to do our bit. We have to do our bit. You know, years ago as a baby Christian, I used to think that my life was going to be wonderful. God would just wave that magic wand and everything would be okay. Till I realized that God was not a magician. But he does take you through everything that you have to go through. And we put ourselves through a lot of things unnecessarily. We get ourselves into horrendous situations unnecessarily. You know, we could see yesterday God's hand on every little detail of the day. Every little detail. Now, you know why that was? That was because a young woman and a young man prayed in faith that they would have a wonderful start to their wedding. And they didn't leave it there. They went on to work at making it a wonderful day. You know? So we need to do that. While we're waiting, we're preparing. We're preparing. The little details, the beautiful pebbles from the beach. That was more precious than all these fancy things. It was more attractive, more personal. It was beautiful. You know, from the meals, everything. It was just God, wasn't it? Only God could do that. But only God could do it through open channels who were prepared to put the graft in. you know, we need to get off our backsides and stop waiting for God to move when God is waiting for us to move. We need to move. We need to get going. And we need to stop listening to all these little voices, the little messenger that comes. And stop giving the king of the world, the devil, the glory all the time. Oh, the enemy this and the enemy that. Hush! He's powerless. Don't give him any credit to anything. You know? Just say, praise God. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. You know, we don't need to be in debt. We don't need to be in doubt. We don't need to be in disappointment. We don't need to be in despair. Because, why? Read on, chapter 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. There is a word from God written in this book for every situation in our lives. Every situation. And don't go running around, but God said this to me and God said that to me. No. If it's not in line with his word, it's not God that said it. It's not God that said it. And we need to get wise and get real and get back to basics and listen to what God is saying. Not to what we want to hear, but to what he's saying. And we need to get our boots dirty while we're waiting. You know, not tiptoeing around the edges waiting for this miracle. We're the walking miracles. Walking miracles. We need to hear the word of the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. You back up to chapter 6, where it says, verse 25. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. That's how yuck it all was. But listen, when we hear the word of God, it changes. It changes. So for a shekel, they were going to get fine barley. For a shekel, they were going to get 2 seahs of barley. And they were going to get fine flour. And I believe that is the word of the Lord for the east gate and the west gate. You know, that tomorrow we are going to see. Tomorrow we're going to see. We saw yesterday how wonderful God works through vessels who are open to put in the graft. Who are open to his creative power. Who are open to just put everything aside to make something special really special. You know, and I believe that that's what God is saying to us in New Wine Church Teen and in New Wine Church Stornoway, is that we need to be, you know, most of us are prepared, but we're waiting. God is saying to us this morning, stop waiting. Start moving. Start moving. Move in the little. And as you take that first little step of faith, you will see the bigger picture come to fruition. And as I wait for my building, where everyone can access, it'll get bigger. It'll be more possible. And he will have done a huge work in me and everybody that's in my sphere of influence in the process. But I need to continue to be open to him and keep the door shut to the messenger that comes and says, you can't be part of the system. You can't go to work. You're retired. You can't do this. You can't do that. You should go for housing benefit. Yes, I've applied for housing benefit. Yeah, I've applied for housing benefit. Until I'm in full-time employment, why not? I've paid into it. That was my investment. And while I need it, then praise God He's made it available. There are countries in this world that would give their eye teeth for the system we have. It becomes bad and becomes limited when we depend on it and only depend on that and nothing else. But there is no shame in accessing it when you need it. It would be like me saying, well, I'm not going to withdraw my pension. Wouldn't that be daft? You know, I've worked. I've paid for my pension into the system. And it would be silly of me just to leave it there and go without. And then say, but I'm walking in faith. I'm walking in faith. No, I wouldn't be. I'd be walking in silly spiritual pride and misunderstanding of God's word. And that's the bottom line. And we need to just depend on Him. And He will use the system. He will use the skills that we have. He will use and open other doors. Who in this climate, economic climate, can go for a job and be talked into going for a better one? That's got nothing to do with me. That's God. That's a God we serve. Now, I could be sitting at Kinriv thinking, oh, I'm making all these pictures, but I'm not selling them. Because I haven't got my building. Or I could be proactive and saying, I'm not going to listen to any of these voices. I just want to hear from you, God. And He has given you and He's given me the power to make wealth. Why? To further His kingdom here on earth. You know, we need to stop being so introverted and looking at ourselves and start looking at the bigger picture. You know, if we don't have finances, we haven't got anything to bless anybody. If this young couple hadn't worked hard and their parents and their grandparents before them worked hard, gave, invested, we wouldn't have been blessed yesterday in the way that we had been blessed. You know, there was prosperity written all over the day, from the beginning to the end, because God was honored in their lives. And they were open to Him and used all the giftings that He has invested in them. So we need to look at ourselves and say, get over yourself and stop thinking, listening to that voice from, you'll be bragging if you say you're good at this. You know, I was brought up to believe that I was to be seen and not heard. Oh God, that's a sense of humour. I'm now heard even when I'm not seen. Hallelujah. And it's amazing. I was just saying this morning, I don't know how many people have said to me over the last few days, oh, I heard that voice. And I think, yes. But long enough, I was too quiet. I had to be quiet. The children were seen and not heard. And you certainly didn't boast in anything you were good at, because that was you being big-headed. So you had to be chopped into size. You know? Well, I boast in my God today. Because He is the one who's given me the gifts. He is the one who said, what's in your hand and you can use it. And I was sitting out there this morning, I was thinking, I remember the day that Colin Ottram took us round here. And we thought, we're not going to afford this one. But I kept the door shut and I didn't speak it. I kept the messenger at the gate for once. But you know, when we went back and we looked at the money we had, and in those days we had two accounts, we had not just the deposit, but we had the first month's rent as well. God said, what's in your hand? You know, and I was thinking, he's been a good landlord and he's made all things possible for us. And maybe we need to go back to having two accounts and having a building account so that we can buy a building. You know, you look at every other church and, you know, we can say, oh, we're in faith for a building. What are we doing about it? Faith without works is nothing. It's useless. You know, we have faith. We need to have dead works. That's different. That's because you think you're going to work your way to heaven. But, you know, to have this building, we need to put our... Bless you, brother. We need to put our money where our mouths are. And, you know, we can start doing different things. We had that building fund, that missionary building fund, was building a wall. Remember, people could buy a brick. You know, there's people all over Scotland who bought a brick for you and I to be standing here today. But we forgot that because we got so caught up in faith. And we believe in God for this. We believe in God for that. And yes, and so we should be. But we got lackadaisical. So we need to get back into using our creative powers that he's gifted us with. Because he's given us the power to make wealth. And that power comes through ideas. God-given ideas. You might think it's wacky. I would never have thought that collecting pine cones to play with my grandchildren could have generated over 50 quid in 15 minutes. Can you believe that? You know, that's phenomenal. But it sounds daft. I never thought it when I was collecting the pine cones. £185 of orders for table centres. You know, it's just amazing. Last night, there was a text for 10 iPod covers. A lady who's going off to America in January, and she was thinking, what can I take to them? It's just after Christmas. I'll give them that Scottish. And it's not going to cost an arm and a leg. £10 a throw. £100 in my bank. You know, and that was just from going to a craft. So if God's given you an idea for a business, an idea to raise money for the church, whatever it is, no matter how daft it may sound, step out in it. And you too, and me too, will have a perfect day like this pair had yesterday. Because he's calling us as his bride. You know? Let's learn from what we saw yesterday. From that young bride who every little detail wasn't too unimportant. It wasn't, you know, and God is expecting that of us. Every little detail of our lives. But we need to keep that messenger. You know, see what it says here? 33. There was a messenger coming down to him. I've lost it. Yes, in 32. Do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? You know, preacher's license here. I think we might have been. I don't know if Elisha would have been so polite. A son of a murderer. But if someone's going to take your head off, what have you been for? Son of a murderer. No, maybe you're more sanctified than I am. But you know what I mean? We need to know who's at the gate. We need to know that spiritual pride can be our downfall. You know, and if we have thought that something was of God, or we have said that, you know, God said this to me, have that humility to say, I got that wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. I got it wrong. Because today there's no excuse. Because we've heard the word of God. It's not my words. It's God's words. Hear the word of the Lord. And you will know that it's of God. Because you will be prospering. You will be prospering as your soul prospers. You know, delight in him and he will give you the desires of your heart. So many of us want the desires of our hearts, but we forget that we have to delight in him first. Because the delights of our hearts will need to be changed. Because they might not always be good for us. But God, as we delight in him, he changes our hearts. And we know that what we desire will be of him. And it will prosper us as our soul prospers. So, you know, the whole prosperity teaching has been misunderstood by desperate people. People in financial difficulties wanting a quick way out. Well, I'm sorry to say, there is no quick way out. It'll certainly happen a lot quicker if we focus on God and we keep the messenger at the gate, not at the door. And even if it gets to the door, you keep the door shut and you just keep praising. That's the key to that open window. And God opens the window and we will see our salvation. You know, we need to renew our minds from all the teachings that we've had. You know, and I'm not decrying the teachings that we've had. Because I wouldn't be standing here today if I hadn't been brought up in a Presbyterian church. I wouldn't be standing here today if I hadn't come under Pentecostal teaching. I wouldn't be standing here today if I hadn't come under charismatic teaching. I wouldn't be standing here today if I hadn't come under the Word of Faith teaching. You know, God is building a people that will build on all these different foundations and honor them. You don't stay there, but you honor them and you move on because we're building a wall. We're building a wall and we're going to have as many people in this wall as we can get in. And we will extend the walls as we get more builders in and more watchmen on the wall. Amen. You know, so we need to know that at the gate, at the east gate and at the west gate, the abundance is there. Tomorrow. You know, his time is not our time, but it might literally be tomorrow for some of you. But while you're waiting for tomorrow to come, you need to do the best with the present. With today. What's in your hand today? Get out there and do it. Stop sitting, waiting. When God is saying, I'm waiting for you. So praise God. I could go on. You just got part one. There is a part two. I'll come back to give the part two. Praise God.